go.
Blog Talk Radio. This is the Just Steph Show, and I'm your host, Steph Palermo, your Italian Boston girl, who's an empath, healer, and all-around speaker of wisdom. Tune in weekly for advice on how to live your best life at work, home, or play, so you can feel groovy every day.
Hey, it's Steph Palermo, and it's the Just Steph Show. Everybody has two lives. The second one begins when you realize you only have one. We are second lifers. We're empty nesters, newly single, and those starting over age three. Your healthy, happy, hip years are just beginning. You can give us a buzz to chat today at 657-383-0317. Of course, if you have questions, you can also Facebook and, you know, text me or message me. I'm live from Los Angeles, Beverly Hills. I'm so excited to be here. I'm with these guys.
Hello, good morning.
This is Jeffrey Adams, and this is his studio.
Hello.
He's the creative cardio crunch.
Exactly. Good morning, everybody.
And this is Marco Palos from Fat Cat Swinger and Louis Prima Jr., and you have another band. Do you do something else?
There's another group I play with called the Rip 'Em Ups.
And, nice.
Like rock and roll. Got that very 60s vibe.
The rockabilly.
Rock and roll.
Like so who does the rockabilly? The fat cat is more rockabilly?
Well, kind of. We're more swing with a little taste of rockabilly, but I think the only rockabilly thing I do is when I play the house band at Viva Las Vegas once a year. Which
fun.
Is a big rockabilly weekender that happens all year. So.
Right. How fun is that? I love it. Your music's awesome.
Thank you.
And I have Bill Pope is holding the fort down in Atlanta. Are you there, Bill? Can you hear me? Hello, Bill. I guess he's going to say, hold on. I don't know. There. Are you there?
I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Oh, there you are.
We can now. Hello, Bill. Good morning.
Good morning, Bill.
Hey, guys. Good morning.
Good morning.
How's Atlanta?
Atlanta is Atlanta. It's hot and muggy. That's what we do in Atlanta.
Oh my God, hilarious. I know. Well, the weather's been beautiful here. Sorry.
All right. No worries.
Bill, we're gonna get you to talk to Marco a little bit because Bill's also in a band.
Oh, okay.
And he's been co-hosting with me, and so I know that he's got a lot of questions for you in terms of your music. But I wanted to, what did you do this weekend, Marco?
Well, let's see. I guess it depends what day it was. Let's see. We just did. I actually got to work at Disney this weekend, and. It's one of the things I do. I'm a cast member over down at Disney, and I perform in a show. It's a show that's been open since 2012, and I'm still there. 6 years later, I'm still there doing the show. And I also, just on Monday, my own band, Fat Cat Swinger, we performed at Downtown Disney. And that was the final performance on that stage because they're about to take that area down and build up a hotel, probably to help accommodate traffic that's coming in for Star Wars Land pretty soon. We just performed there and had a great show, great turnout too. It was kind of funny because the lights were not working, and so they were going to make us end the show early, and all of a sudden we're like, well, we're going to skip a break and just play through until this hour when they want us to stop. And at that hour, right when we were supposed to stop, the lights came on.
Oh my God.
And everybody's cheering, and they're like, okay, you know, give us a few minutes. We're going to recalibrate the set because we just we improvised to make it end.
Wow.
And then we're like, okay, we're going to give you a few more songs. And we played up until the fireworks show, and that was it. And that was our final memorable performance.
Will you be back at Disney, but maybe not in that place?
Yes, correct. Actually, we're going to be there on the 30th at Disneyland, and I'm going to be singing as well as a special guest, Olivia Cooper-Harris. She's going to be singing with us.
Nice.
She performs with Postmodern Jukebox and has her own group as well. So we'll be performing inside Disneyland, and then there's often a lot of things we do within the park. There's festivals, and that will run, you know, anywhere from 6 to 9 weeks, and we'll be in the park all the time.
Well, Jeffrey and I did some fun stuff this weekend, but what did you do besides, we'll talk about what we did because that was fun, but what did you do besides that? You had your prize.
Oh, yeah, so we had some Pride event. Los Angeles has a Pride event this past weekend, and so we just hung out just to get the night sun.
Right.
I'm always working and doing different things, so we just
Right. So I have to say that I have really, and I was talking about this this morning, I was called back to Boston, I was talking to Eddie, and I said, I'm so out of my comfort zone. Like, I'm doing so many things that really, I'm not a risk taker, and I'm usually very conservative about what I do. And Jeffrey and I went to two birthday parties on Saturday night, and we went to Korean food, and I never had Korean food. I'm usually I'm totally American, Italian, Mexican, Japanese, like Chinese, I'm good. Okay, you know, beef, pork, veal, you know, chicken, I'm good. Like, I don't go out of that. And we had the best. I said, I'm going to go. We're going to have a good time. We had the best food. They just kept bringing it out.
Oh, yeah.
They kept bringing it out. And it was so good. And then we went to a party in Beverly Hills, a house party.
A house party. Some of my clients had a house party.
Yeah.
So they were, like, inviting us. It was great. I didn't get the chance to take Stacy to the. So I always have this problem calling her Stacy. I don't know why.
Because you have a friend Stacy in Atlanta.
Right, exactly. And I have
that's
a friend Stacy. So I know
I'm not
Stacy. This is Steph. Stephanie. So I'm sorry, Bill. So I wanted to take her to the Korean restaurant where they actually bring the meat out and we cook on the table, but it does get in her. It was much, much easier for them to just not just to smell, you know, like the barbecue.
Right.
So they prepared it for us and kept bringing it out, like she said.
Okay.
The real once she gets the next experience with Korean food,
I'll wear it.
Yeah.
Shall we?
Because what happens is, like, you know, they're cooking it right in front of us. We're cooking
right.
ourselves.
Yeah.
So that's
oh,
the
like fondue?
Yeah.
Okay. That's kind of fun.
Except they have the fire there, and you have to tell them, hey, can you turn the fire on? Can you
cook right.
You know, so you just hit a buzzer, and they'll bring the food back to you, but you have to cook it.
You cook it
there,
yourself.
They cook it for us.
Oh, my God.
But, yeah.
That's interesting.
But
yeah, we'll have to try that.
I forgot about that until you just mentioned that. I'm like, girl, you would have hated the smell in your hand.
I know. Yeah. No. Well, we did.
But it would have been a great experience.
But even last night, I was working all day, and I was in my hotel in Beverly Hills, which is a lovely little boutique hotel. And I was working there, and I just wanted to eat something right there. And it's a Middle Eastern sort of flair mm-hmm. hotel, and it was all Indian food. And I let them order for me, and I ate, and it was unbelievable. It was so good. But Charlene and I have been doing some stuff, and she had some. My friend here is in comedy, and so I went to her show, and I was on Manhattan Beach, and I laid out on the beach on Sunday, and you know I've been doing my I've been getting my tan. I know my friend Charlene's like, I don't like the tan. I go, well, okay, that's because you're on the Disney sitcom and you're trying to be a 17-year-old, and you can't. I'm like, I don't care. I want to get tan, so. Yeah, so we've been having a good time. And today, actually, a little later, I'm going to head over to Sony. She's in a sitcom over there, and her boyfriend is the director or something. Rita Moreno's in it, the One Day at a Time one.
Mm-hmm.
So that'll be fun. Yeah, a little fun. I think I'm going to go to Boa tonight.
All right.
Yeah, have some fun. So we're going to do that. All right, so I wanted to talk to Jeffrey a little bit about the connection between your mindset and the workout. So, you know, because I really like to have this mind-body connection. I do this, and you and I have talked about this, like I've been doing isogenics, but I'm more trying to get okay with the food, you know, and not be either all-out eating or starvation, you know, and just sort of be balanced with it and be healthy and all of that. So how does the mindset affect the workout?
I think. If you go into anything in life and you go with intention of making results, you're going to have results. But once you become so accustomed and once you get those results and you're just happy with the results, then sometimes we just fall back into the same patterns.
Right.
So you have to continue to have those patterns, and having those patterns make it more mindful. And when you're mindful of what you're doing,
right.
it makes it a much easier task. So like if I'm mindful of my biceps, then I'm going to be concentrating on those biceps.
Right.
If I'm mindful of my diet, it's not saying that I'm obsessing with my diet, but it's just be mindful of, hey, you know what? That might be a little too much. And sometimes it takes a little work just to get to that point because nobody wants to like look and count their calories. But when you do something for so long, it just becomes, you become
second
mindful
nature.
Of it. It becomes second nature. With the workout I do, it is, it changes constantly.
Right.
Because when you come, I want them to know the moves, but then I want them to be mindful of you're in somebody else's space.
Right.
And be mindful of not just putting yourself in that little, like that pattern mode that we have to be mindful of when we're outside. Like, I have to be mindful of getting my kids. I have to be mindful of this. You have to be mindful of that.
Right.
And so, like, adding your diet or adding fitness is just another part of adding to your
self-care.
And so, yeah, so what you do is just, like, you know what? Just make it a part of your everyday things. That it's like a habit, and you become more mindful of it. But I just think that fitness in general helps you to clear your mind, because where else can you go? Oh, you can listen to music. Like, when I'm listening to music, you just lose yourself, and you become mindful of the lyrics. You become mindful of
the tempo.
Yeah, you become mindful of everything. And so I think that's just
music is just one of those things that just it just either brings you up, or like sometimes if you're in the mood, you listen to sad music. Music just really affects the person a lot. So I wanted to ask you. So how do you stay in shape? Do you work out?
Oh goodness.
To
be honest, my only workout that I'm currently getting is on stage.
Right. And that's a lot.
It is a lot.
I see what
and
you guys do.
I have two suits right now that I need to take to the cleaners. They are loaded with sweat. And every time I take them to my cleaners, they're like, wow, how did you get it to this point? It's because we sweat so much. Most of us, we sweat so much during our show because it's anywhere from 2 to 3 or 4 hour show, or 2 or 4 hours that we're performing, and that especially, or like if you come to see Louis Jr., that's it's only supposed to be a 90-minute show, and it always ends up being 2-ish hours.
Right.
And we, as you see, we from the moment we play the first note,
it's all out,
rock and roll, all out, and then all the way to that very last note when we're not done yet. By just playing your song, we're going to go, no matter how big or small the venue is, we're going to march out into the audience, and we're going to go say hi and try to shake everyone's hand that we can. And even recently, we went in March, we were in Bremerton, Washington, and they got this theater, and went all the way up. And I remember we come down the front, cross up, climbed all these stairs all the way to the top. And this is at the end of the show, too. This is at the 2-hour mark. We're all the way at the top of the theater. We're saying hi and shaking hands to everybody. So why play? Going out and then coming all the way back down and getting back up to the stage. And even then, we go the extra bit to just finish the show, and I do this little thing where I turn upside down and I'm playing my sax upside down.
Right.
And then, like, we get up and then I climb up on the stage and we do the rock and roll. If there's a drum riser, I jump up and boom, we finish the last note, and it's like, thank you very much, and we're done.
That's a lot of work.
That's the most workout that I get. But
right.
I would love to actually have a regular workout where I'm in the gym. My girlfriend and I were doing Kung Fu for a little while.
Right.
And I actually really loved that.
That's fun.
That was really fun. And but what's hard for me, because of how often I travel, is finding something that I could be consistent with.
Right.
So it's like I have to find something that is flexible or changes or...
Right. That you really like.
That I really like, but that complements my schedule and things like that. So outside of that, we do eat healthy, and we try to stay mindful of that. My girlfriend's vegetarian. I eat everything, but I will go and buy tons of vegan and vegetarian meals to help out with the diet, and then also still eat what I like to eat and try to do it in balance.
Right, so moderation and balance.
Exactly.
So just about the cardio crunch, you've been working on this for a long time in branding.
Yeah. So with cardio crunch, well, first of all, I'm saying it's amazing what you're telling me, because cardio crunk is a little bit of showmanship. So, like, it's a part of me engaging my students, like the audience. And so cardio crunk is like high-low aerobic that we did back in the 80s. But when we were doing it back in the 80s, I didn't feel like I was welcome, but I just felt like, okay, for me as a black kid, for me as a black gay man, it's like, okay, where do you fit in? And so when I would go to classes, I still felt like I didn't fit in because the music was too fast. I didn't do choreography. I never learned choreography. I haven't taken dance classes in my life. So it was one of those things where I wanted to create something that I think that everybody could enjoy, and I think that men could enjoy. I think that 98% of the people who don't have rhythm could probably get it, because I was listening to music that we hear on the radio, listening to music that you could just have a little fun with.
Right.
Being with Cardio Crunk and me making it so that it changes constantly, because I like to be mindful, but I don't want to have such a rigid routine that people know exactly what's going to happen. So I think like having that little element of surprise, like what you said at the very end, is like, oh, we're going to walk. And okay, every place you go is a different, you know what I'm saying? And so then in that moment, you have to change and like say, okay, well, let me fill this place with this, our energy now. The energy is going to be different at Disney than it's going to be at that arena that you're talking about. And then like imagine the creativity that you get by going up to the very end, not knowing what's happening next, like, okay, what if there's not a drum, but you're going to make up something that says, okay, you know, we got to end it, and there's no stage for drums, but I'm going to end it some way, and I'm going to do. So I think Cardio Crunk, it just brings everybody, I call it unleash your sexiness, because everybody just has, they want to get out of their comfort zone.
Right.
And Cardio Crunk helps to take people out of their comfort zone. I like to do songs that are empowering. I like to do songs that you can hear on the radio. And then a lot of my people are mothers with children. So, like, imagine them being able to hear some of the music before their kids hear it. It also has a connection with the children. It has a connection with their kids. Like, okay, the only thing my mom wants for her birthday is to go to Cardio Crunk class. My mom was going to let you go to Cardio Crunk. Or they'll bring their kids with them on their birthdays because their kids want to know. Well, I would want to see Jeffrey like Cardio Crunk. That's mom. It's just anything, it's going to be Cardio Crunk. And it's just because of the way people feel from taking the class. And like when you're talking about mindful, people think that yoga is so mind body. Cardio Crunk is also a mind body because it helps with your endorphins. And as a performer, you probably know that the minute that stage hit, you're going all out because you have to be like 200%, you know? So, like, imagine me in class giving 200%. Just to get 60% from people, because they're like still trying to think and guess. But when he's saying the workout and him sweating, I can do 5 minutes in front of the crowd.
I see you.
And it takes more out of me than me doing an hour in class.
Right.
Because I'm performing. You know, it will take, it feels like I have performed for like 2 hours, but that's what Cardio Crunk is. It's just a high low class that people can do at their own pace. They have music that you'll be able to listen to later on. People feel fun. They know that if they mess up, it's okay.
Right.
Because we're here to just move and to have fun. So it's not.
It's a little hip hop-ish.
It's a little hip hop-ish, but I think it just depends on the time that you come, because sometimes it's more pop-ish than it's hip hop-ish.
Right.
So what happens is I listen to music all the time.
Right.
So I'm just getting music, and if it happens to be hip hop, then that's hip hop. If it happens to be pop, then it's pop. And so when I go to a more urban place,
right,
they may think I'm doing too much pop. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Just because at that time it's the
it's
music that I,
life.
You know, because the music
life.
Has to change for me constantly because it's over and over and over. And so it just depends on when you come. So I think you came during hip hop. Like this,
yeah.
Is my playlist changes all the time.
Right.
So you probably heard a lot of hip hop.
Right.
And it's also a way of me getting out there because everybody's playing.
So I surprised Jeffrey on Saturday, and I showed up here to do the class, and I hadn't done Cardio Crunk since you were back in Atlanta, and I was like, okay, I gotta kind of let, I just wanted to move and have fun, and I just, because I was trying to do what you were doing, and I was like, trying to keep up, but you know what, I said, okay, just have fun and move. And that's it. And it was fun. We had a great time.
And I think that also Stephanie used to box with me in Atlanta. And so boxing, I'm so like regimented and saying, oh, and doing this.
Well, it's like
that.
A boot camp.
Right.
Almost.
And it's almost like a boot camp. And so like that's the personality that she got. And I think in Atlanta, I probably taught 2 Cardio Crunk classes a week. And here I'm teaching like 12 or 13. And so I went from total.
How much do you eat? You must eat a lot to maintain. Yeah, because you're always moving.
Yep. And so, but I spread my days out because it's almost like me performing. And I'm like, okay,
how many calories can you eat a day?
Maybe 3,800.
Oh my God, I want to be you.
Because if you get sick, your metabolism still goes. So, I got sick and I can lose 10 pounds just like that. Like in 5 days, I lost 10 pounds.
Wow.
But
like,
it's not, you know, so I have to.
And that's a problem because for me, I'm like, oh my God, I need that.
Like, I'm like, okay, I'm like, oh, I just have to not eat for 4 days, but it's,
right.
It's not good.
Yeah, that's not good. Right. Yeah.
So I'm working back on my calories.
So do you think that, you know, by, is there a way that you can speed up your metabolism? Because I asked the doctor and they're like, no.
Yes. Adding cardio and weightlifting.
Right.
I mean, it's not saying that you're trying to gain muscle. Well, you will be gaining muscle as far as toning your muscle. But, like, when you start, because I'm active, your body has to continue to do that. So
right. That's
the only way you can speed up your metabolism. In essence, all you're trying to do is burn fat. So in order to burn fat, you have to have more cardio or more activity. So if you increase your activity and decrease the amount of calories that you have, yeah, it may feel like your metabolism.
I'm so glad you live in LA.
She works out very hard. Like,
I do.
She's a hard charger. I like it.
I work out a lot. I do. I work out, you know, 3+ days doing boxing, at title boxing, and then I do like 5 days a week or more of hot yoga,
and see,
which I love.
So that's why when we're doing cardio, we're doing lots of rows and stuff like that. And
I just want to do that in a nightclub. I don't
right.
want, I don't.
She doesn't want to do it as her fit. And see, this is everybody has their own little thing. So she doesn't want to do it in class, but we have people who are like, Jeffrey.
No, remember.
So when I get on the floor and do those moves, they're like, they're jumping on the floor with me. And sometimes you don't think about it until they tell you when you don't do it, they're like, what happened? And I'm like, it just makes me know that, you know what, they're coming here so that they can just release and do some things that they might feel silly
right. Doing
with somebody else. But me doing that
right. Allows
them to be able to.
Right.
Like,
you give them permission.
Yeah. So it's like, okay, Jeffrey did it, so we can do it. And then. Nobody's been saying anything. So it's fun.
Remember the time we went to Rose Bar and I like did my move and I was like all the way down? You go, girl, why don't you move like that in class? like all the way down.
So you can do your own choreography. Like,
yeah.
You can dance by yourself. And so that's how I feel like. I'm
right. Good
dancing alone.
Right.
And then I'm good teaching people, but
right.
I don't want to dance with somebody else getting my choreography.
Right. So we have a couple of comments from Facebook. Beth Pope says hello. Hey, Beth, and Paul Oliva, he's my friend from Atlanta, he said he had an office used to be next to Koreatown in mid-Wilshire. The Korean food there is fantastic. Jackie Zucks is so awesome. Hi, Jackie. Hi, Paul. Anna Palma, is she one of your people? Are you your people? She says, hi, Anna. Thanks for tuning in.
Right. And if you're watching with Jeffrey Adams Fitness, I want to see you guys comment.
I know, really.
So hello, good morning. We're up for you guys.
All right. So, you know what? We have a couple of birthdays today. Ann Quilty, she's out of Boston. And Joey Bono, happy birthday.
Happy birthday.
We're going to take a little break.
Hey, I'm Mike Marino, and I'm making America Italian again. And you're listening to me on the Just Steph Show.
That's Mike.
Hey, Marco. Why don't you say that number you've been working on, man? Okay, everybody
listen.
I'm just going to blow.
We'll be right back. commentator for 680 The Fan, occasionally HLN, The Nancy Grace Show. Join me once in a blue moon, but Just Steph every week on The Just Steph Show.
All right. So, Bill, are you there? Hello, Bill? Oh, I had him on. Do I have him on hold? Bill, are you there?
I am here.
Hello.
Are you there?
Yes. You know what? It's so weird. I can't work the board. I can work the board. I'm not going to say that, but it's just new. You know how it is. So I know that you wanted to talk to Marco a little bit about his biz. What do you got?
Well, I was just made a comment on Facebook Live that it does take a lot of stamina to play of music, and listening to that killer track I just heard, it's high energy. So not only are you jazzed, pun intended, to play the gig, but then you've got to expend all that energy. So musicians, in my opinion, are in a lot better shape than they used to be.
Probably. Depending on the show that you do.
Well, that's true. That's true. And I want to take Mick Jagger, for example. He's 73 years old, and he runs up and down the catwalk, and he's probably in the best shape of his life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, agree.
Rod Stewart does.
What is the climate out there in Los Angeles? Do you primarily play in Los Angeles or the California area?
Yes, I do quite a bit. If I could say anything about the LA music scene, is that if you want to work 7 days a week, you can if you hustle hard enough. There is music everywhere. There are clubs that support live music. There are jazz clubs. There's and even though it's very saturated out here, there's a lot. If you've got talent and you've got drive, there's no reason you can't be out here working. I'm going to give you an example of all the musicians that I contract. I have my own band, Fat Cat Swinger. We are a 9-piece band. It includes trumpet, trombone, alto sax, tenor sax, baritone sax, so a 5-piece horn section, bass, guitar, drums, and a vocalist. And we have some of our core members, but some of the other members are so busy working that I have to rotate them. So we have a list of guys that we try to stick to. And these guys are working almost every night of the week, to where sometimes you have to start saying no just to give yourself time off, because we work so hard to get the gigs, and suddenly you realize I'm working 7 days a week, almost multiple times a week, a day. I need to give myself some time off for sanity and my health and everything. So it gets to the point where you do have to start saying no, and you got to realize it's okay to say no, unless you're at that point in your life where you do want to work all the time. And I was at that point, a few years back. Even I would say, everything up until, let me see, we're in the year, I think I am 10 years now of doing this full time. And I worked in real estate before this, but when I dedicated myself to music full time, I was in that phase of like, I'm just taking every single gig that comes my way because I'm going to find my rhythm and my path. And I was in such a habit of doing that for so many years that I finally realized, wow, like I haven't taken a break in this many years. I need to stop, and I need to take a moment to just kind of enjoy what I'm doing and realize like I don't have to grind as much, because I think I got myself into a place where I was also like getting so focused on the work that I almost started like, I was like exhausting myself. So then I found a nice balance of being like, okay, it's okay to say no here, and it's okay to start limiting myself. And it's funny because I say limiting myself, but I'm committed to four things right now. I've got, Fat Cat Swinger, which is my group that I started 16 years ago. Louis Prima Jr., who I've been performing with since 2010. The Rip 'Em Ups that I mentioned, that we've been performing since about, I think it was about 2008 that we started performing. And then Disney. So to maybe the average person, that might be a lot, but that kind of is what keeps me going week to week. And then I've got a few days off in between, and the Rip 'Em Ups, we will perform once in a while in LA, and then we'll go and do a festival. Like just 2 or 3 weeks ago, we were in London and France. Louis Prima Jr. is, we go out for little runs of 3 to 4 days or something. Fat Cat Swinger constantly works in LA and Disney. And we are working all the time. So between all the groups, there's I found this nice little balance that happens between everything that keeps me going, but also gives me enough time to say, all right, I'm going to take this day off, or you know, so on, and just do that. But the climate out here, there's a lot of music. If there, I don't know what it's like in Atlanta or anywhere else, but there's just it's happening all the time. It's happening. You can go see music almost 7 days a week, and you'll find a place somewhere where you can be listening to live music or experience it or go perform it yourself. Even the people who are performing on the Santa Monica Promenade, there's gigs like that all the time happening as well. So everywhere you could find music.
I love it. Atlanta has a lot of life.
There are plenty of venues here in Atlanta to play, but I'm finding a proliferation of tribute bands. Is that a common thing out there in California?
I'm noticing that just overall on the internet. I'm noticing performing arts centers and all the gigs that I try to find out of town. They are going to things such as like even concerts in the parks. I'm not sure if you're familiar with that as well. They tend to go to a lot of tribute bands as a lot of throwback. And I think people want to live the glory of what it was like. And that's why a lot of those tribute bands are succeeding and doing so well. I definitely think there is a heavy market for tribute bands. I think I would agree that there is a bit of that out here. You've got groups like the 80s All-Stars out here who put on a really great show and take you back to the 80s. And there's other groups that do there's a yacht rock band out
here. Yeah, we have yacht rock in Atlanta.
There's a yacht rock band out here. I can't remember what they're called right now, but they dress up like if they're on a yacht.
Yeah.
And,
they sing all that, the 80s, 70s and 80s. It depends.
Yeah.
Sometimes they do different tributes.
Exactly. And so there's all types of groups. We do swing, and we don't necessarily tribute. We actually try to contribute to what we believe, hopefully, one day will be fun or classic music or representative of what jazz was like in the 2010s and the 2020s, so that, you know, 50 years from now, people look back at that era, and I hope that what we write and we contribute is considered part of that era, just like people are looking back right now to the 20s, the 30s, the 40s, 60s, 70s of those eras of music. But so many people do want to experience that, and I think that's why the tribute bands are definitely having success right now.
Right.
No, and I agree with you. That's very well put. I just wonder if club owners, I think here in the Atlanta area, club owners are shy to bring on original music because of the taste for the tribute bands. And it's certainly for the club owner's perspective, they make more money putting, you know, fannies in the seats, if you will. And no one wants to invest any time on a new band trying a new song, I guess. And it's frustrating for my creativity because I still like to write music and write my own music. But, you know, it's at least in this climate over here, it's tribute bands, and that's about it, really.
You know, if I may, what I've noticed, the formula that I've kind of used for my group, Fat Cat Swinger, is we mix covers and originals, and sometimes we do a cover in our own arrangement, in our own way. And what I've always found is that by doing something familiar, you draw them in. But what we do is stuff that inspires us and that also sounds like our original stuff. So, and we also write so anything that we can relate to on that. So, for example, when we write something and it has a Frank Sinatra vibe, we put it relatively close to a Sinatra number in the set, and we drew the audience in with that Sinatra number, but then we show them our original song, and then they end up liking it, and they go download it and buy it. And And for us, I have to say, like, and I'm not sure how it is for other artists and other bands, and nothing for us is ever about the dollar amounts or how much, you know, we make, because the reality is, if you want to be able to make a living off of original music, it's this tricky game you got to play. You either got to go all in, do all original, and do it until you make it, or you can find a way to kind of like marry the influences of what you've done, like what inspired you and your things. And one of the greatest compliments I receive in our shows is, that was an original song. Like, I didn't know it sounded so much just like everything else that you're playing, that I just love it all. And then they go and find the music, and that's how we convert people from listeners to fans of what we do, is by giving them something to relate to. They relate. If not like that Blow track, that's the one that we just played. That's a unique song. It's a little bit of jazz and rock and roll and all these things. So I don't know how we relate that. In Louis' band, we are able to pull in an audience because people come in for what his father was, and then they realize, whoa, this is entirely what his father was, but it's still got the spirit of what his father was. And he plays his father's music, but then he writes music that supports that high energy and insanity that happens on stage, where, you know, maybe we're all like a bunch of monkeys in the Jungle Book dancing around on stage or something, but it all relates. So that by giving the people something to relate to, I think that's how, at least how I've been able to sustain working and performing our original songs in venues everywhere from Disney to clubs to anywhere. And in LA, there are venues that support, you know, you coming to perform your original act. Come in and do your original thing. And there is enough of a community that will support that. Or, you know, even an artist among artists will be like, wow, you should hear what this person's doing. And we all share it. And as big as it is, it's small. And we all kind of know each other or know of each other. And when you see somebody doing something cool, just you share it, and it grows on its own. And either that person goes on a tour with Rod Stewart or Katy Perry for a while, and then when they come back in town, they focus on their original project, and it's like, wow, the notoriety they get from having gone on such tour, now they just keep climbing up and climbing up and climbing up. And it's a give and take. I think it's a give and take of always making sure, like, if you want to have that audience recognition, write for the people, write something that's going to make the people happy, write something that's going to make the people dance. Or, because, you know, there's guys who just want to play jazz, and it's like, cool, you can play jazz, but realize you're not going to make any money on that. You're not going to make a living off that. It's going to be a hobby, and you're going to have to do another job. You could try to make a living doing jazz original, but it's going to be very hard, and you've got to accept that fact. And if you can accept that, all the power to you, you can do it. But I've taken the path of marrying what the audience is familiar with and what we are inspired by, and playing what we love and what we believe in, and using that to kind of keep climbing little by little. It's a long path, but it's fun.
Absolutely, and I think the style of your music is fantastic, and it also has a timeless quality to it, at least in my ears.
Mm-hmm. Thank you.
I agree.
I believe that too.
I agree. You know, it sounds, when you're talking, it, you know, I'm very entrepreneurial, and today, as an entrepreneur, you have to sort of be stirring a lot of different pots. You get, you know, if you want to make money, you have to, you know, like for me, I'm trying to do the radio show and speak and write and all that stuff. You're trying to do whatever and consult and whatever. And that's what it sounds like you're saying for the music business. Because unless you want to go back to selling real estate,
yes,
and, you know, doing a gig here and there, you have to do a lot of different things.
Right. It's so, like Louis Prima used to say, play pretty for the people. You know, it's like if you're playing just to satisfy yourself, you're going to be in the small empty clubs. If you're playing something that's going to be for the people will come.
Right. Okay, we're going to take a little break. So, but before we do, Beth Pope says she loves the horns from that last song. Sounds great. And Dottie Galvin, hey Dottie. She says she misses me at boxing. I'll be back. And Anna Palmer says, and she says, as a music fan going to support live music, she has to take a rest because there's shows every night.
They are.
Well, yeah, it's hard. I mean, it's hard to go out every single night. Mm-hmm. And I want to say thank you to Mike Tucker and Rose Dunn and Maria Salas for liking my Just Steph page. And this is More Fat Cat Swinger.
Nines. This joint is always hopping and swinging in perfect time. Everybody's got to leave your troubles at the door. Come on, a party with your friends, maybe some you never met before. Here we go. Try out all your new moves, dress them up and keep them tight. Come on down to party and swing your baby tonight. There's no right or wrong way. Come on and dance and have your fun. Just dress up in your finest threads and dance till the morning comes. Bring your favorite partner or come find somebody new. If you can't find someone, baby, I'll come dance with you. Just mole, ole, ole, and then laugh the whole night through.
Dating expert, and you're listening to the Just Steph Show.
That was Julie Spira. I actually had lunch. Do you know Julie? She's from here. She's the country's expert on online dating.
No, I don't know her.
Yeah, so she's out here in LA, and she's called into my show some years ago, and so she and I finally got a chance to meet her. 2 days ago, we had lunch with her, and it was great. So, had loved doing that. But I have this week's spiritual kick in the ass. So I'd like to love you guys to really get in on this. And Bill, of course, if you have something to say. But last week we talked about how to love the journey when you're not quite where you want to be, and really it just means what I said in sort of a nutshell was. If you wake up every day and you align with your purpose and you walk in your purpose and you walk in your zone, and today's great, even though you're striving to have a certain relationship with somebody or lose weight or have a certain career or make a certain amount of money, if you're doing the next right thing every day and you're caring for yourself, you can love the journey because you're doing what you want to do every single day. And, you know, I have worked on this myself because I do a lot of introspection, and I never really, I don't sit here from sort of the preaching place because it's really, I'm on the journey and walking it every day. So I thought about what we could talk about this week, and basically I want to say life is not a spectator sport. You have to be, you can't be complacent. Like, you can be, but really, is that the way you want to live your life? Is with complacency. And I think we know deep down we should be enjoying our lives every day, but we don't. It's monotony. And you say, oh my gosh, I'm not happy. And I hear a lot of people go, oh, this, that, you know, they're mad at their job, they're mad at their boss, they're not happy in their relationships. And I said, well, then make a change. Like, either stay and be happy or go and be happy. Make the changes that you need to make to live your best life. So I thought, you know, how can we move the ideas? Because we have this, we know we should be happy. We know we should be. So how do we move it from here to here, where it becomes from the head to the heart, where it becomes experiential, where you're actually feeling groovy every day? Like, how do you get that to that place? So what do you think?
Oh boy. Well, I think for me, sometimes taking a step back and realizing that you can only take things a day at a time helps me, because I will get overwhelmed. And it's so easy to, because sometimes I feel the stress and pressure of, even though, like, it's, you know, I'm making a career, like, for myself, but I'm also doing it for the nine other people who I have in the band. It's not just me. So, like, I sometimes feel this pressure, and sometimes I feel if I don't deliver or I'm not bringing in enough gigs or something at a certain time, it starts to bog you down. And then I have to realize, like, well, you know, I sometimes am thinking too far ahead, or maybe even just a little bit too much about yesterday. And
right.
So then I have to stop, and I take a step back, and I realize that if I just focus on, I'm waking up today, I'm alive, I am not clocking into another job, I'm actually waking up and I'm a musician today. This is what I chose to be. I should be thankful for what I'm doing. And then I think when I do step back and I say, I'm actually here, like, I'm in LA, I'm living here, I'm doing this, like, I start to get a little happy again, because then I'm like, that is, I'm doing what I love. And I so many times hear the comment, like, you're so lucky to do what you love, you're so lucky to do this. And it's like, and I'm like, you know, maybe I guess I am. And then I don't sometimes step back and realize that and appreciate that. So giving myself that opportunity to say, okay, one day at a time, Marco, you are here, and let's focus on the things that are coming today. So, like, today, I wake up, and even though it's super early, I get to be here on the show with you guys, interacting with like-minded people is a beautiful thing, and it's like why it's so important to surround yourself with those kind of people who help encourage that, and that, I think, also contributes to finding that happiness is surrounding the kind of, I hate to say it, eliminate some of that negativity the leeches and the people who cling on and try to bring you down, and stick to the people who are like-minded, who support what you do, and that helps make it a little easier.
Right.
Because it's not an easy thing to just wake up and be happy, at least not for me all the time.
Right.
You get overwhelmed, and we're human, you know.
Right.
But then when you start to focus on, I have my friends, I have my career, the passion, I'm doing what I love.
Right.
Then it's like, what more can you ask?
Right. What about you, Jeffrey? What do you think about, you know, just sort of how do you make what you know you should be doing or feeling make it a reality?
I know. It's because you're on the journey. Sometimes you do everything and you get there, and then you're still so used to hustling and doing everything, you have to, like, basically sit back and have a parade and put all the stuff that you accomplished so that you won't feel like, hey, what's this journey? I mean, I really have to love the journey that I'm on. And so, like, I've had hard times. But I don't really think they were hard times because I knew the sacrifice that I was doing was to continue on my journey. So it's like, okay, this is a hard world, but it's not going to be this all the time. And like, just to see the journey that you've been on, you know what I'm saying? And to know that her and I probably started doing this thing, like her Just Steph show, she was doing this in Atlanta. I was able to go to like an event with her.
Right.
Like, so we've both been on that journey. And sometimes I have to sit back and I'm like, oh my gosh, I have my own studio. I'm in Los Angeles. Like, people wish, or I'm looking at everything that my classmates may have done or the people that I've known, and I'm like, oh, they're doing this and they're live at this. And I'm like, but they're saying, Jeffrey, thank you for motivating me. I'm like, thinking me? I'm doing that. So I try not to look at what someone else has done. And I just say, you know what, where I'm at, I love it. I'm living my life. I'm trying to be positive. I'm trying to be clear. Gear, I think about healthcare. You know, I think about all these things because as an artist, and this is basically, I feel like I'm an artist. We're all artists because
right.
We're out there hustling and trying to do everything we can to be able to live. Sorry about the phone.
Right.
To do everything that we can to be able to live out our dreams.
Live radio.
I think that sometimes on our journey, we just forget to say, oh my gosh, look what we have accomplished. Like, look at these things that we have done. And because we're so close to them,
right. We
can't see them. And everybody else sees us here, but we're putting that. So we have to just enjoy. I'm like, for me, I'm like, oh, how would it feel to be in a band? I was in the high school band, but just to know the energy that I feel like I get. So that journey, it's like we just have to stop. We just look back and say, you know what? I'm doing good. I'm living my life. I'm very, very happy. I'm not clocking in all the time. If I look and see my finances, I've had fun. Do you know what I mean? I've done different things. I've ended up in places that I never thought I would end up
right.
at. Because of the journey that I'm on. You
well,
know what I'm
think
saying?
About you.
Right.
Went from, you were like in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And you, he could have been, like, I say this because I know this, he could have been a big fish in a small pond. And
right.
you come out here and you're performing, it's a big pond and
right.
you're this very competitive. And he had the courage to make that big change. And I remember I was like, go, you know? And so, but. You know, you did, but and you said something too. People say, "Oh, you're so lucky," and I've had people say to me, "Oh, look at you! You're out in LA, and you're so lucky." And I go, "You know what? I created this.
Right,
you know,
right.
I'm doing this. And you know, at the end of the year, when I'm having to pay taxes, and you know, and I'm gonna have to call, and I'm down money. Okay, whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but I'm." Trying to build a business. I'm on. Yeah, don't get me wrong. This playtime here.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm working, and you're working. You know, you're lucky, but because you're doing what you love. But everybody can do that. You're doing what you love. You can do that if you create it. You
you're
have to create
it.
You know, I saw this quote by JFK as I was in the Boston airport, and it said something to the effect of. The reason why we went to the moon was because, I don't know, whatever we could or whatever it was. And I go, no, we went to the moon because somebody thought about it. Somebody imagined it. Somebody wanted it. And that's the same thing for everybody's life. You have to want it and you have to start creating it. And I think a lot of that has to do with, and this is my final thought on this, is start listening to your internal voice. Listening to what feels right, not feels good in the moment, but feels right and solid, and then start making the adjustments in your world, whether it's moving away from people who are anchors and luggage, encouraging people or being with people that encourage you, talking to like-minded people, like you said, and maybe making connections with you know, with people and businesses, or maybe go take a class or whatever it is that you need to do to fulfill your hopes and dreams. So with that said, you know, of course, if you need help identifying those, you know, those things in your life, I'm always here to help you, your business, or somebody you know. You can contact me at steph@juststeph.com. And we're going to just have a little segment for you. You know what? We're going to change segments here because I wanted to sort of switch gears a little bit because I don't know if you all know this, but I have been invited to speak in Dubai at a global nurses conference in September, and I want to sort of talk about this for a second. I was born with Cohen syndrome, which is a rare disorder, and I have been invited to speak about living with a rare disorder to an international group of educators, all in the healthcare field, educators, doctors, and nurses in Dubai, and it's not only unpaid, it's travel is not included. So I am seeking corporate, I don't want to go fund me, corporate sponsors, doctors, insurance companies. I'm reaching out to Delta, you know, because I already purchased my ticket and for sponsorship, because this is such an amazing opportunity for me to share with the world what it's like. Because in the medical school, rare diseases, rare disorders get like it's like a one-liner. I go to doctors and they go, oh, what's that again? And I happen not to be sick. There are people that have Cohen syndrome that have chronic pain. They're sick. There are people that are, you know, have other rare diseases and disorders that are sick every day, and they are getting misdiagnosed. They're not getting diagnosed at all. They don't know how to help them because there's no money. It's not like breast cancer or heart disease where there's all this money getting pumped into research. There's like five people in the world that have it or whatever, you know. So I have a chance to share with the world what it's like to live with a rare disorder. So if you know of any contacts in pharmaceutical, biotech companies, doctors, anything like that, maybe even an oil company, because I'm going to Dubai, I don't know, that would want to sponsor me, even like $500 or $250, just to help me with the travel and the expenses of the trip. That would be very greatly appreciated. So I just feel like I can't pass it up just because it's not paid. Mm-hmm. And in the end, if it comes out of my pocket, it comes out of my pocket. That's how.
And we're asking for help, so please, you know.
Yeah. So you can just contact me at steph@juststeph.com. I don't want individual.
Right.
You know, I don't want like a GoFundMe. I just want like Coca-Cola.
Right.
You know. So, if you can, you know, if you can direct me to the right person. I actually had a friend of mine the other day on Facebook say, hey, I'm a 3 million miler on Delta. I'm contacting my service rep for you. So that's kind of what I'm looking for, that kind of stuff.
See, this is part of the journey that people don't see. They're just going to see you in Dubai.
Right.
Oh my gosh. No, we're banned. We need corporate sponsorship. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't see that's a part of the journey. Okay, I'm sorry.
Okay, no, that's hilarious. That's
what
I'm saying.
Huh?
So funny.
Right?
I love you. You're the best. All right. So before we sort of wrap up, Cameron McCormick. Oh, she's lots
Hello,
of
Cameron.
Hi.
Good
Hi,
morning.
Cameron. Your mom, Lila, says, here we go with a wink eye. Beth Pope, swing, baby, swing. Tim Jacobs with a thumbs up. Jeff Fiorentino, hi, honey. I'll be home next week. I miss you too. Mary Henry, hi Marco, this is my happy music. And Cameron says, hi Mary, hi Lila. So anyway, but thank you for tuning in. So how can we find you on social media and all that?
So on social media, you can go by my name, Jeffrey Adams, or you can go at cardiocrunk.com or Body by Jeffrey. There's a lot. So there's no way that you can miss me, but put in Jeffrey Adams and it should come up.
Right.
Cardio Crunk.
Right. You know what? Let me just tell you something. He made fun of my shoes the other night, but I wore them today. I don't care. I said, and don't even start about my shoes today.
They are cute. I like them.
He's so cute.
shoes is terrible. I was like, oh my God.
Only because we were talking about somebody else's shoes. That is the only reason. But they weren't, hers weren't bad. The other girls were super bad.
So how can we find you, Marco?
Well, I do the handle Marco on Saks, and it looks like Marcoon Saks.
Yes.
But it's Marco on Saks, and or my name Marcopalos, MarcoPalos.com. I perform with Louis Prima Jr., Cat Swinger, the Rip 'Em Ups, but I try to push everything through the Marco Palos page on Facebook or Marco on Saks. But all the if you type Marco on Saks, it'll come up.
Right.
YouTube, Instagram, Facebook,
right.
Twitter.
Right. So these guys can be followed on Instagram too.
Instagram, everything.
Twitter, everything.
Same.
Yep, me too.
Cardio Punk.
Snapchat.
Yes. You know what? I'm on Snapchat, but I just kind of move with my nieces because I don't know how to handle it. Like,
I love the filters on there. That's
I know.
Dinosaur is my favorite right now.
I love that. That is so fun.
I love it.
I love it. It is fun. It is fun. So you can find me, of course, I'm on Facebook. I have my Just Step page, my Step Palermo page. I'm on Twitter at Step Palermo. I'm on YouTube. Palermo, all this will be on YouTube. I'm on Instagram, JustF1. I'm on iTunes and SoundCloud and everywhere. So I want to thank you guys. I want to thank you, Bill, for hanging out in Atlanta with me.
Well, you're welcome. I enjoyed it, and it was great talking to you all.
And, you know, so thank you guys.
Thank you.
So will you guys come back sometime? We'll
absolutely.
Do another show?
Yeah.
You. For sure. Exactly. I'm going to get you. You're the best. All right, kids. Know I love you all. Wishing you love, balance, and peace. Ciao, ciao, baby.
Thanks for tuning in to the Just Step Show. I really care about you, your happiness, and helping you make great choices for your life. So tune in next week for more wisdom from me. In the meantime, follow me on my Just Step Facebook page, on Twitter at Steph Palermo, my Instagram account is JustSteph1, and subscribe to my YouTube channel, Steph Palermo. See you next week. Ciao, ciao, baby.
Okay. And my episode here, and we're good to go. Here we go. We're done.